And welcome to the Everyday Board Game Podcast with your hosts, Daniel.
And Daniel.
Good morning, Dan. No, I'm not even going to do
it.
No, I won't do it. But good evening, sir. We started good a little evening. Late. You know?
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. So we're going to at least trudge to at least one episode. We'll see if we normally like to do back-to-back. I'm pulling back the curtain. We're going to tell people how we do it. This is how we get so much good content to you guys every week, is that we film at least two episodes a week normally. There is a slight chance that we might only be able to do one today, and that's partially for both of us. First, you know, my less exciting news is that I had to work way late today, and we're getting started at 7:42, which is an hour.
We're already halfway through, like, well, we're probably already done with this episode and about a quarter of the way through with the second one.
Yeah, we would be doing our top eight debate by now, but yeah, that's okay. That's all right. It happens. But I do want to give a quick shout out. Motley Hobbies and Hello Meeple followed us within the last while. I think Motley Hobbies I announced last week, but thank you all for following us.
Thank you.
On Twitch. Yeah. And then, but more excitingly, Daniel, do you want to tell them your news or you want to keep it a secret?
No, I could tell them. I got my second shot for the vaccination. So that's another reason why we're just kind of hesitant, because I'm starting to feel the effects right now. Like, my arm is really sore and I'm starting to feel feverish. So,
yeah. So if those of you who are watching this on video, I know that this is your time to be show and tell, Daniel. If you see him go.
Yeah, it's just because I moved my arm the wrong way.
Yeah, it's like too many epic high fives. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, pretty much.
So this week, you know, I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't get more people with comments on this one. And I purposefully, we just got another one right now. But
yeah, I just saw that. I just loaded it and it's like, hey, there's a new one. Oh, okay.
Yep. But I think this one is a really, really interesting discussion topic. And I purposefully left it vague because...
Yeah, no, it's great to be vague.
Yeah,
especially exactly. With what we're trying to do with this question that we're asking people.
Yeah. So the question was very simple. How would you fill in these blanks? If you like blank, you'll definitely like blank. And we posed that to a whole group of gamers, specifically the Board Game Revolution community on Facebook, and we let them run wild with it. I haven't read any of the comments yet. We'll probably have to censor, blur out, all sorts of different ways of stopping the comments from being visible and or seen. No, I don't know. It's probably not that bad.
No, but there's just one that I think we need to skip over just because it's a self-promotion.
Oh, well then. Maybe, yeah. That's pretty funny though. I like the way he does
well,
it.
Well, also the first one I think we should pass over too.
You know, so I was thinking about that one. I'll go ahead and say it because I get where
we're family friendly, and that's treading on some.
All right. Well, that's fair. It's slightly inappropriate, but basically, we'll give like a sum down, the cliff notes, if you will, of his comment. Yeah. Because I get what it's saying. And we'll just talk about that when we come to it. But before we do that, we have an ongoing segment that we like to do every week when we talk about our discussion topic. And that's a simple discussion topic. Daniel, what have you been playing lately?
Interesting to note, I actually got some gaming in, so... spoiler alert here. I actually got a couple nights of gaming. I played some games with the wife, and then we actually went to a group of some friends of ours who are hosted us at their house. Both of them are vaccinated. My wife is fully vaccinated. I was already within my first shot, so we were very safe about what we were doing. And so...
I'm shaking my head disappointingly because I'm jealous, not because I disapprove.
So we did it safe. Well, I was already halfway vaccinated. Everybody else was fully vaccinated, so that was nice. So we got some games, and I actually got some games to talk about compared to last week, where I only had two games. First one I'm going to start with is we got a game in a Between Two Cities, the game that was given to us by Jamie Stegmeier, and very happy with that generosity. Thank you so much. And I really like this game. It's been a while since I played it, so I took it there because it's like, it's a quick game. It plays really well. It's an easy drafting with tile laying, where you're building two cities, one with your neighbor on your left and one with your neighbor on your right. And it goes through three rounds. So what happens is you get seven tiles. You draft two to play in each of your cities, and then you move the other tiles to the left for them to go through it. So you're drafting all these tiles, and you're trying to work with both your neighbors, trying to build the best city that you possibly can. And you want to keep both your cities kind of equal in points, because your lowest scoring city is actually what's going to give you a chance to win. And if there's a tiebreaker, say your lowest scoring city is still the highest city with your neighbor, you're going to end up tied with your neighbor. Then your next city is the tiebreaker, and whatever's highest out of that will be the tiebreaker. If you're somehow still tied, it's just weird and okay, whatever, but we had a good time with it. And so, yeah, I really like that, because it's interesting when you're drafting these tiles, it plays quick. So it's seven tiles in the first round. Then you have duplex tiles, which are double tiles. So you only play two of the three that you get in your hand. And then in the third round, you get seven more, and you move to the right rather than the left this time. And you're trying to fit those in. You're working with your neighbors, trying to, okay, we're concentrating on parks over here. Maybe we should start putting other stuff in there, but I really need shopping centers to go over here. This way I get my points really equal. I had a really good time with this game, and they really enjoyed it too. So that was Between Two Cities.
Very cool. Yeah, I really need to try that game sometime. No, I'm just kidding. I need to play it again, honestly. I had quite a blast playing it. I recently went up to Albuquerque. I'm going to give a shout out to a little store up there. Well, we went to the Breaking Bad store at one point, which was amazing. And then my father-in-law, who was with us, who's also fully vaccinated, our whole goal of that trip was to go on so many hikes that it would be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And we really enjoyed ourselves because we went to all these national parks. We saw all these places that I didn't get to see when I used to live up there. And mainly because my kids were infants, so you know, you can't really take them hiking too easily. Then you end up carrying, you know, two wiggly kids that are just cranky, you know. And so we went and did that. And the one store that we went to was the Breaking Bad store, which was a phenomenal little place. It's in Old Town Albuquerque, which is kind of near downtown. Have a lot of like old plazas. It's very touristy, but that's the point, right?
Yeah.
And we went on a weekday, so it was super dead, which was awesome, and like an hour before it was closing anyway. And we found a shop called Puzzled, and it's a really interesting shop where the owners of it, I got a chance to talk with them. If you're in Albuquerque or in the area, go check it out because it's really fun. The owner of the shop, his, I believe, father or some of his family members create these wooden games or puzzles and different things, and they laser cut them all, they design them all, and they create these like handcrafted wooden puzzles. And
okay,
they have so many up there on demo and just to show off. And of course, like there's the classic one where it's like a weird shape and you have a bunch of pennies and you're trying to fit them in, or like tangram shapes and whatever. And we ended up getting two games from them. One was like math roulette, where essentially you had little wooden marbles and you spin a top that's in the shape of a square. So it's kind of like a dreidel in a way, but it knocks these marbles around into different spots that are worth points. And so completely no skill, but very satisfying. But the one I wanted to talk about was a game called Penny Drop, which is a very simple concept of a game. On the top of this box, it's a custom box. It's basically a piggy bank, a coin bank. Wow. The numbers, there's six spots for it. There's 1 through 5, and then the number 6 is down below all those. That's okay. Because number 6 is a hole that goes straight through into the box. 1 through 5 does not go through the box. So when you put a penny in the slot, it just stays standing there. And it comes with a custom wooden die, and it tells you to get 12 pennies per player. And you can do fewer or more, whatever, if you want to do it. It's kind of like a gambling game where you roll the die and you place a penny in the slot. If it's a 6, you just get rid of it. Your goal is to get rid of all your pennies. Mm-hmm. But if you put it in a slot that doesn't fall down, like let's say I put a 5 down, I can then choose to keep rolling or stop and pass the box to the next player. Why that matters is that if you ever roll the die on your turn and it comes up a number that has a penny in it, you take all of the visible pennies. So up to 5 pennies on your turn. But you can get rid of your pennies on the six without penalty. It's a very, very simple press your luck idea, but I was happy with it. It's a beautiful wooden creation. It's a simple game. You can make one on your own. You know, very simple, but it works. It does exactly what it needs to do and nothing more. And so I liked it a lot. It's called Penny Drop.
Oh, sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'll bring it by sometime.
Yeah, no, I'll have to check it out. But you said I could create it on my own. No, I can't.
Well, it wouldn't be anywhere near as pretty as that. It's worth buying the box. And they had some gorgeous, like, Chinese-style, like, puzzle box that they handcrafted. Oh, my goodness. If it wasn't, like, as expensive as it was.
And even it's handcrafted, so I'm not surprised.
Right. Even with it being as expensive as it was, I still very much considered it. But I couldn't pull the trigger on it. We were already buying, you know, that math roulette and the penny box and all that stuff. So it was worth it. But go check it out, Puzzled in Albuquerque.
Check it out when I get up there one of these days. I was supposed to be up there in September, but that got pushed back to January because we're going to go up there for the Broadway shows.
Oh, that's right.
Hamilton was going to be up there. It's now in January when we're supposed to see Hamilton.
Well, then when you're going to go see that, I'm going to give you another shout out then. Go to Slice and Dice. We already know Empire Board Game Cafe is amazing. Slice and Dice is a pizza shop and board game section. They're great owners, wonderful people that work there, good selection of games, wide variety. I made my friend spend way too much there. it was brilliant. Slice and Dice, Empire Cafe, Puzzled. Three best places in Albuquerque.
Oh, I'll go have to go check those out when we get up there. It's going to be a bit, but yeah. So the next game on my list that I played was one that you've played, but it's been a while, and one that actually is probably going to show up on my list in a little bit, but we did get to play it, and I needed to play it to see if it would make my list, and that is Hardback. I am so glad I got it back to the table. I do really enjoy this game. It's a word game that uses a deck building as its mechanism, and the first person to hit 60 points triggers the end game, and everybody gets a turn. This way, it's an equal number of turns. So if the first player triggers it, everybody plays the rest of the round. If the last person plays it, that's it. This way, it's an equal number of turns. You use your cards to spell words to either gain other letters that are in the tableau, or basically money like a deck builder, or you get points off the cards that you use. What I like about it is that if you don't have a vowel in your hand, you can flip over a card. You don't get to get the power of it. Or like if it's giving you a point or money, but you get to use it to help you with a wild. So if you just can't really figure out a word, you can flip it over and say, okay, here's a worm. I didn't have an O, but I had everything else. So that's what I need. There's also four genre cards, just like in most deck builders, there's four different styles of cards. So this one, you have mystery, horror, romance, and adventure. And they all play off each other really well. So if you do this, you get double the points, or you get this. It's mystery. You get to jail another card and basically lock it into your place that only you can buy on a later turn if you get the money for it. They work really well. Also, it allows sometimes certain cards will allow you to flip a wild card in your tableau if it's next to what you use. This way you could still get that ability. I like all the stuff on there. I like the fact that if you have a hard time spelling or you can't figure out a word, you can just lay your cards on the table and say, hey, I need a ghostwriter. Can you guys help me out? If you take the advice of somebody else, all they get is an ink, which is a good thing because it's also considered a penny, which is what the buying power is. Or they can use that ink to push their luck. And I love this part of it is that push your luck aspect, because if you use that ink, it allows you to draw another card. However, it's bang or bust. You have to use all six cards now. You can't just spell a four-letter word and have two cards that you can throw away. You have to use all six cards. You can turn some wild, that's fine, but you do have to use the six cards. Unless you have an ink remover, which allows you to carry six cards, and then you get rid of that ink that you just had. So there's ways to mitigate everything. I had a really good time playing it, so Hardback.
Cool. Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to play this one.
You've played it before.
I know. That was it. I don't know. There was something about it that irked me. I don't know. It was weird.
But everything irks you.
Speaking of irking, I played. So I just recently signed up with the Board Game of the Month Club. from Button Shy Games, and so I just recently got my first pocket game from them, and it was the first solo only game that they made by Scott Olms, and that's Ugly Griffin Inn. And so the idea of Ugly Griffin Inn is that you have four cards that are considered in the bar, but you're also running an inn where people want to go and rest. You take one of the four cards from the bar, you send them to the inn in this little row, and then you go from the top down, reading all of their irks. If it applies, then they normally leave and then take other people with them, depending on what's happening. And then finally, you refill the bar with four, with bringing them up to four. And then you look and see if it triggers one of their other irks, like if it's too noisy or too smelly or it's too loud or, that whatever the case may be, there's too much fighting at the end. And that might trigger their irks as well. Your goal is to have seven characters sleeping in your inn by the time you run out of the deck. I really like solo games lately, ones that give you a lot of good choice. This wasn't bad. I don't know of how much I'm gonna ever play this again though, because
That's sad.
and I really like Scott Olms' designs and such. I have actually I was assuming that it was going to be really good, and maybe that was why, but it
Then
just
again, you also didn't care much for that big grandiose one that he did, Earth, Land, Air, Sea, or something like that.
right. I don't like that one at all. Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea, or
There
whatever.
we go, that one.
Jamelin. Yeah, I didn't like that one. I like all the tiny epics, just about. I mean, there's a few that I don't like nearly as much as others, but some I adore, And then, like, some of his new stuff, like, I have Peter Pan. I feel it's like Neverland Rescue. That's a brilliant game, two-player game. And then, Boomerang, that's a brilliant game. So I've been really trying to get more into Scott Olms' designs, and he's been working on like solo games. So like this is like a perfect opportunity. The problem that I have is that you have four cards on the bar, and you have 18 cards total in the deck. So you have to go through all 18 cards. Technically, that's 14 cards, 14 rounds that you have to go through. And you have to keep seven of them in the inn. So that means every turn, you read the four cards on the bar, then you read the four cards in the inn, then you refill the bar, and then read the four cards in the inn again. And that's 14 times through the game. I think that's the reason I don't like it as much. It's fine. It's not long. It's about 15, 20 minutes. It's not bad. And a friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, Jim, he played it and he was like, okay, I didn't hate this. This wasn't bad. And he's not a solo gamer of any sense, but he played it and he probably liked it better than I did. So I mainly had him play it just to see if I was just not seeing something here. So I don't know. It was all right though. I'm excited for more. I'm curious to see what else I'm going to get from this Board Game of the Month Club, but that was an interesting start.
Sounds interesting. I don't play a lot of Button Shy games, so I'm not too familiar. They're the ones with Palm Island, right? That other solo game that you have everything on one. It's part of their
No.
wallet. I think Palm Island is part of their wallet series.
Oh, geez. I don't think it is, but I may be wrong.
Well, it comes in like that leather thing like their wallet series does stuff. So that's why I
Really?
just assumed it was in one of their wallet.
I'll look
But
into it. A Woods 0143 says it is not. Yeah, I thought it was a different game.
okay. I mean, I know it came in that wallet, so that's why I was confused.
Yeah. Palm Island specifically, it you can play without the table, but you can like walk around and play cards,
Well,
which is
Palm Island,
pretty.
you have to play in your hand from what I understand. Because you got to be moving stuff within that hand, but it can't really go anywhere else.
Right. Which makes sense.
My next game that I'm going to talk about is one we talked about a lot, so I'm not going to go too much into it, but we did play just one as well. We had a good time. It was a nice little palate cleanser for the end of the night kind of thing. And we played two games. They were quite quick. We did really good on the first one. I think we had 10 cards in our points, and we only lost two passes.
Oh.
But then we got cocky. We're like, maybe this is getting too easy for us. And the game put us in our place between choosing of the difficult words and be like, oh, what do we use for this answer? How do we describe it? And words getting eliminated. So we only had like one clue. And you're just sitting there like, I am proud of myself though, and I think that's why we got a little cocky is on the first playthrough. My one word answer was Robin, because somebody else met and they had one, and I only got one clue out of it, and I was like, Batman? Took a stab in the dark because we were doing so well, and I got it right. And yeah. But the next time around, man, we were just getting thrashed by the cards, by the selections. And I don't remember them all, but it's just everything was getting eliminated. You'd have like one word answer and it could fit like four different categories. And so
now, just to clarify, is it code names or just one that you played?
It was just one, I said.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that. My apologies.
So, if I did say it, it was just one. And yeah. On that last clue, or one of them, I only had one word answers. People took a stab at it. We were losing cards that way. And we ended up with four cards in our point display.
Wow.
Good. Second game. First game, we're like, all right, we're awesome. We did 10. Next one is like, nope. Get back down there. So like, just really one.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good choice. The second to last game I'm going to talk about today is, I'm a fan of the Tales in Games series that was being co-published by Purple Brain and Yellow Games. And they come in like, they're like kid stories or classic tales, folklore, and they come in like book boxes, you know, they look books, really beautiful.
Like Tortoise and Hare and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, Tortoise and Hare is one of them. Yeah, absolutely. And, or is it that one? I believe so. Yeah, Tortoise and Hare is one of them. And I just got the two remaining that I don't have in the series, which is Lost in the Woods, which I haven't played yet, but then Jack and the Beanstalk. And they stopped numbering them all of a sudden, which is really strange. But Jack and the Beanstalk is a dexterity game where it comes with a bunch of green dice, and you are essentially stacking those dice one on top of each other, but sometimes adding in other things like magic clouds or like little pillars and stuff with their extra strong things. Or if you run out of those things, there's like a whole hierarchy of what you stack on top of it. Or you put the giant's castle on top, which is a big piece on top of everything else. And you're basically just trying to keep everything upright. If you drop them, then you take penalties, or you don't, everybody else who put like their little magic cloud things up there gets points. And, and obviously the person who drops it doesn't score those points. So it could be that I could stack up a whole bunch of my clouds, you just don't get the rolls, and then I break the tower, which nulls the round effectively. It's not bad. It's a super quick game. It's all right for being, I don't know. It's an easy game to learn, but for some reason it feels more complicated than it needs to be. You have to know what each of the six sides of the dice mean.
Yeah.
Which in itself is not that difficult, but then knowing, oh, well, if I need to put this, but I'm out of these, so I put this instead, and then, oh, like, that is just a little weird, but it goes by quick enough that I think it's a fine game. It was pretty good, probably in the lower half, though, of the collection of the game so far. That was
okay.
Jack and the Beanstalk. I know, a bunch of negative reviews, isn't it?
Yeah, you're really not happy with any of the games you played this week.
Yeah, well, I haven't played that many games this week, and it just depends on talking about the ones
that you did play, and we're like, eh. And so, speaking of games that we played this week that I really enjoyed, this is the one I was telling about we played beforehand with the wife, when she was like, man, she really enjoyed Jaws of the Lion. She's, I want to play more Gloomhaven. Maybe we should just reset and start a new campaign. And I'm like, you know what? Last time we played this was in September 2019 as a campaign. So even before we had lockdown, it was still already an issue. And the fact when your wife wants to says, hey, we should keep playing this game, which is also your favorite game, you're like, okay, I will do what I need to. I got the reset stickers and set everything up. And yeah, so I do have to let our former campaign partner know that we went ahead and reset it. I do feel bad about it, but again, it's been before the pandemic. Well, it's been before the pandemic started, the last time we played the campaign part of it. The last play of regular Gloomhaven I had is when we showed you your copy of Gloomhaven, which was in December of 2019. Wow. So it's been a while. And so I was like, you know what? Let's do it. let's have fun with it. Let's go on. I'm going to get it more consistent to the table now that we're playing it. So it might not be every week and maybe every couple weeks or so that we'll get to the table. But hey, I'm not going to complain to play more Gloomhaven. It is my favorite game.
No.
But man, was it a pain in the butt to reset the board.
I wonder now, once you get to the point where, let's say you and your wife finish the campaign. I know you'll want to keep playing it. And Frosthaven might be out by then. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
Like, I would say, me and my game group have played Time Stories for 6 years so far. And we haven't technically finished it. We have the last half of the last scenario that we played more than a year. But when we complete it, it'll be more than 6 years playing that game. And I don't know if I would ever want to go more after this. So I'm curious to see what you're going to, or where it's going to rank, like once you finish the campaign, if it's going to stay as your favorite.
I imagine. Yeah, no, it's interesting.
I don't know.
I think Jaws of the Lion really helped grow my love of it, because we transitioned a lot of the rules that we learned from Jaws of the Lion, because Isaac Childress said you can. Jaws of the Lion is the best starter point for anybody getting Gloomhaven, and you carry those rules over. Like the line of sight is just so much easier to do in there. If it's three hexes, it's three hexes instead of trying to find that little corner. Does the corners meet and stuff like that? Much better line of sight, I think. And so that's what we carried some of those rules over. We started it up again. And, you know, we played the first two scenarios. And in the second scenario, it felt a little too easy for us, because I remember the first time we played it and we struggled. We had a hard time. And I'm like, mind you, we just played 19 games or so of Jaws of the Lion. Now we're transitioning into regular Gloomhaven. We already know how the system works. The first two campaigns that we played, or the first time, couple times we played the game, we didn't know how this worked or that worked or how this worked. We're veterans now going into a new campaign of it. And it's just like, yeah, it felt a little anticlimactic, but we're also smarter how we play our cards. So yeah. I think that's part of the thing. I know it's going to get difficult. It's Gloomhaven. And so we had a good time with it. I'm glad to restart it again and really, really dig into the campaign some more, especially since Frosthaven is about to come out.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, time will tell. We'll find out. When you finish it by next month, let us know.
I don't know if I'm going to finish this. It took us about 3 months to finish Jaws of the Lion. I think this is going to take us about 8 months to finish the campaign if we're consistent.
Well,
if there's that much stuff in it.
Yeah.
Well, like with us, we got one of the random scenarios already unlocked because of a reward that someone got. And it's like, hey, pull this card. Now that's out there. And you're just like, we played two stages. How do we already have all this stuff unlocked?
That's awesome. The last game I want to talk about, yesterday was Easter Sunday. And we had a small little get together with a whole bunch of vaccinated people. And then me. But
why don't you tell the people the good news though before you get into it?
I'm scheduled for tomorrow. Finally. No, like my mom's fully vaccinated and she came over because that's important. That's a pretty important holiday for her. And then a friend of ours and his mother came over, and then the last guest that we had, the only other guest was that a good friend of my son's came over, and he hasn't seen him in like another 12-year-old or 11-year-old. He hasn't seen him in over a year, best friends. So I was like, okay, if there's a time, my son got straight A's again. You know, he hasn't seen
He deserves a reward.
He deserves the reward, absolutely. So we had a little get together, and you know, it was reasonable, and we had an Easter egg hunt and all this fun stuff. And then I asked everybody, we're all just kind of sitting around thinking, oh, well, what should we do? So I proposed, like, well, let's of course play a game. That's my idea, and my mom was like, all right, I want something simple. I'm like, okay. Like, what game would be perfect for, like, you know, we had seven people playing. So, like, it had to be up there. But then also, we had, you know, two parents. You know, we had a group of, like, four adults, or three adults, two, like, upper parents, you know, and grandparents to some of these kids. And then three kids, aged 9 to 11. So you can't do anything like inappropriate or anything. Yeah. So I picked the best game, Cash and Guns. And I almost feel like a bad person, because I'm sure this 11-year-old.
I was going to say, he's going to go home and tell his parents that you let him point guns at people.
Yeah, we all communally pointed guns and divvied up cash and shot each other. Like at one point, like Pitt, yeah, it was that would be a really good one. But yeah, no, I picked cash and guns because my son is in that like whole like video games. He wants like they run around with play guns all the time, going pow 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 pow, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's normal, apparently. I guess that's how parents work now. I don't think I'm an abnormal parent, but you know, boom, gun.
You're just abnormal in general.
I'm just abnormal. It's not just because I'm an abnormal parent, right?
Abby-normal.
Yeah. So I thought, what a better way to celebrate Easter than pointing foam guns at each other. And oh man, did it go over so well. Although I felt bad, I made the only kill shot in the entire game.
And please tell me it was on your wife.
Nope, it was on my friend's mom, who had never played this game before. And in my defense, she started it. And now she knows what. And like at the end, we're like, well, this is a bit awkward, but this was fun. And then when I was counting everybody's score, I'm like, all right, what's your score? What's your score? What's your score? We'll skip you, sorry. You know, because you're dead, so you don't count. It was demented.
And moving on.
Yeah, and let's go to the next person. Yeah, it was so fun. And my kids enjoyed it. You know, this other kid, he had a blast doing it. He was interesting. He played the chaos variable where he shuffled up his bullet cards and just put one down random. He had no idea what was gonna if you were gonna get shot or not.
Yeah. If I pull this card, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. I don't know if you're going to die or not. We'll find out. Are you willing to take that chance? This little 11-year-old who's like twice as tall as my son, you know, he's like, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll find out. I had to point it at someone. Oh, man.
All right. So you ready to get into this?
Yeah, let's get into this.
And just remember, everybody, our question is, if you like blank, then you would love blank.
Yes. So all of our viewers live, feel free to post your comments down below. But then we also asked the Facebook group, before we get into our answers, let's talk about what they said. And I'll give the Cliff Notes version of this first one. They said very specifically, if you would play this game that causes potential self-harm, then you'll definitely like Russian Railroads. And there's some alliteration in there. I'm sure you can figure it out, but you know, go with it.
Yeah.
I think that's because he thinks Russian Railroads is a painful game. Is I think
I'm not, I get the iteration, but we're trying to be family friendly here. So, right. You know, bringing up something like that would be a little.
Sure. But now you know. And now, like today, we're learning the letter R. You know, it's fine. So it's like right. Cash and guns with his kids.
Yeah. So Kirk added. Or no, sorry, David added, if you like drinking games for dart players or drinking games for dart players, you'll definitely like Pub Nights.
Interesting.
I'm not familiar with that one, so I'll take your word for it, David.
Ooh. And Kurt said, if you like the Trail of House on the Hill, you'll like Crimes in History, H.H. Holmes Murder Castle.
You know, I see this advertised. I just never tried it.
Yeah, I want to try it. That, it does look pretty good.
We're skipping the next one, moving on to Mike.
And not just to clarify for our audio listeners, it's not because it's offensive. It's just shameless self-promotion, which I'm kind of okay with. But basically, this person said, if you like these games, or if you like board games, you like my games.
Yeah.
And provide a link. I think that's funny, personally.
Next up, Mike was saying, this is a very dangerous post. And it could have been. It wasn't that bad, though.
Yeah. It could have been. We were curious. I was hesitant, but it was great. And then Sam said, if you like to collect things, you'll definitely like board games.
Oh, yeah. Do you not see the expansion wall behind me? Or, you know, your board game wall behind you?
Yep.
Jim says, and not our mutual friend Jim that we talked about, a different one, mm-hmm. King Domino, Karuba.
If you like King Domino, you like Karuba. Ooh. I suppose I can see that.
I can see that, though. I really can because of the way you're laying those paths down, too.
Sure. Yeah.
I like Theodore's answer.
Theodore says, if you like gambling, you'll definitely like Quacks and Quedlinburg. I don't disagree with that.
I don't disagree with that at all. Katya says, if you like Euchre, you'll definitely like the crew. And see, I only recently found out about Euchre, and that's because of our friends over at the Tabletop Bellhop. They talk about it because, like, it's big in their area. Euchre is what they used to play all the time. And I'm like, I have never heard of this trick-taking game at all down here.
I mean, you know what's amazing? I'm surprised that down here where we're at, Las Cruces, it actually, we have a bridge club building. Like, mm-hmm. there is a building that's dedicated to playing cards. I've never been in there. Because I'm afraid of how much they would destroy me. I would love every minute of it, but I don't think, like, can you imagine a bunch of, like, pensioners, like, just absolutely destroying, like, every dream you had?
So, like, no, I like that answer because, one, I've never heard of Euchre before till recently, and I think it's really big in, like, the Northeast and Northeastern area in Canada. I heard it was really big, popular. But I love the crew, so now that makes me interested to see how Euchre plays.
Right. All right. And then Tommy replied right at the end, if you like Dwellings of Eldervale, you'll like Terra Mystica.
And we just got one in our Twitch chat here from A. Woods, and he said, or they say, if you are a gamer who likes poker, you may like Ricci Mahjong.
Yeah, I can believe that. I haven't played Ricci Mahjong, but I do know Mahjong, and yes. Yeah, I love playing, like, any Mahjong variant. It's so fun. I don't know what it is about it, but there's something so fun about it. I would love to play in a Mahjong group. It'd be fun. I'll have to teach you guys
how
to play
Mahjong. I've never played Mahjong, so I wouldn't know. I know a mutual friend of ours was looking for, like, a really nice set when we went on one of our trade-ins, but...
And that's because I showed him how to play it once, and he was looking for a $100+ set. Like, he wanted top of the line. He was sold after one play, and I think you would dig it, Daniel. I really do.
I might. You know how I feel about, like, strategy-style games, because I'm not really good at strategy, but I'll give it a try.
It's a card game. Huh? It's a card game. That's all it is.
With tiles. Okay.
Yeah. No, it is. Like, so the tiles stand up on their own. Like, you've seen, like, the fancy version of Hanabi?
Yeah. Tile?
That's what it is, really. But it's just a card game. It's like a Gin Rummy more than anything.
Okay. Yeah, no, I have no problem checking it out.
Cool.
All right. You ready to get started into our topics here?
Yeah. So, okay. How did you come up with yours and how did you rank them?
So I rank them I try to group them together where it makes sense, honestly. My top four are, if you like a certain game, then you'll like this one or certain things like that. But, like, my first three that we're going to be talking about, I'm talking about, like, movies. And one, there's... I'll get to that one when we get to it, but there's an importance to it. So, but yeah, I rank them. I try to do some, hey, if you like this game, try or play this game, you'll like this one. Others, I was like, hey, if you like this thing over here, or movie in this case, as I talked about, why don't you try this over here?
Okay. I see what you're saying. Mine, I have, like, a collection of games, or, like, if you like a genre of games and you'll like this. I don't think I have too much else of it. Yeah, most of them are, like, genres or games themselves.
One of them is a game/mechanism, which I'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah, but I ranked them based on, my number one is the one I'm almost, like, 100% confident on. And then the farther down the list, I'm a little...
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
My number one is my most confidence. I didn't really do confidence levels. Like I said, I just try to group them together where it made sense. But my number one is literally the first one that came to my mind.
Okay, cool. That works. All right, so shall we do the Coin of Doom to decide?
Coin of Doom.
First? Absolutely, that's our tradition now. We need to start making custom Coins of Doom for our channel. All right, Tails?
Tails never fails. Except for when I'm calling it. All right. So, if you like blank, then you would love blank. And so this is, again, these next three are going to be, like, my movie section in this. So a lot of my games, I also tried to pull from what Wingspan did, where it brought people from outside the hobby into the hobby. So these tend to be the more simpler games. When we get further into my list, they're going to be a little heavier. But so for my first one here is an easy one. If you like the Universal Classic Monsters, then you'll like Horrified, because it gives you that feel. It's a simple game to teach and learn, so it's really good for new board gamers coming into the hobby. It's very well produced. It's not overly expensive. I think it's like $35, but well produced about that. And what I like most about it, which could draw a lot of non-gamers in, is the little Easter eggs that they have in the game itself, with the Universal Monsters or the characters that you had, the villagers you have to save. I was like, that's Abbott and Costello that you have to save. And I just recently bought Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, and I forgot how much they make me laugh. That's such a classic movie. So just all those little Easter eggs, like if you watch those movies, you'll see, hey, that's Lucy from this, from Dracula. That's this, that's this. Oh, that makes sense why we're doing this with Dracula, or why we're doing this with the creature from the Black Lagoon. And so for me, my number eight here is, if you like the Universal classic monster movies or just classic monster movies, then you'll love Horrified.
Very cool. All right. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. This one is the one I'm least sure of. I'm pretty confident in it, but I'm the least sure of this one. And that's, if you like Lords of Waterdeep, you'll like Stone Age. Now, hear me out. They're both worker placement.
Yeah.
They're both resource management. You're trying to get sets of things to fulfill, like, objectives. But Stone Age offers so much more for not much more complexity. It's still a very simple game to get into. In fact, you could get into Stone Age first and then play Lords of Waterdeep after. The only hitch that I think might be a category that might break that is if you're really into the Dungeons & Dragons universe, then you may not like that
nearly
as much. You know,
that would be my only thing with it. Like, if you like the mechanism of... Yeah. Lords of Waterdeep, then I agree with you wholeheartedly. But if it's the theme that's drawing you in, there might be a little disconnection.
Yep, exactly. Cool. Yeah, but that's my number eight. Very straightforward. If you like Lords of Waterdeep, try Stone Age. It's really worth a shot.
All right. So this one just recently came to my list today because I was just thinking about it. My wife and I watched a movie last night. And that was one of the more recent ones that just hit theater. So you could also get it on HBO Max. And that's Godzilla versus Kong. And it's like, oh, you know what would work? Because I just looked over at my shelf and it was sitting right there. And I'm like, boom, that's on my list. Now, I could have picked Godzilla Tokyo Clash. That gives you your kaiju monsters, the Prospero Hall. But I went with an easier one, King of Tokyo. And that's because it's such an easy game to teach. It's such an easy game to learn. A lot of people already know the mechanism of it because they're familiar with Yahtzee. Most people are. And so it gives you all that with such simplicity. Plus kaijus, and you have your legally distinct from the actual monsters. So you have like something called King, and then the giant lizard, I forget what that one's called. And there's a metallic one and a T-Rex, and you can get like a Kung Fu Panda type character somewhere down the line. So I just thought, if you really, really enjoyed that movie, or just like kaiju movies in general, King Kong, Godzilla, any of the Godzilla films, then this would be great. And not only is it great, it's great with kids, with children, having fun with family, because there's so much going on. There's little zany characters, you're rolling the dice, you're trying to beat each other up, you're getting these interesting cards that can help you power up. If you have one of the expansions that have like the power abilities that your character can do, it's got those coming up. I just think if you really enjoy the kaiju movies, or recently Godzilla versus Kong, I think you should give King of Tokyo a try, because I think you would really love it.
Yep, don't disagree with that either. So, my number seven, you're going to give me a lot of guff for. I already know it. I know you're gonna give me guff. So, we'll just prepare for it now. If you like classic card games, you're going to like Matches, which is a game that isn't released yet. Now, I have my reasons for this, and that's because, yes, I'm biased. I designed this game. Let's lay that on the table. And it's coming soon, hopefully. But this was my answer to classic card games, because I absolutely adore classic card games. Daniel, you've played it. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go to
your number. No. In all honesty, I give you guff for, you know, your self-promotion. But no, it's a good game. I really enjoyed it.
I played a mess of it while
playtesting it, as well as showing it to other people, so I'm kind of sick of it.
Sure, yeah, and that's understandable, but you can't deny, like, the people who play classic cards, that kind of...
No, it works really well.
Your time. Yeah. So, That I'm hoping I can't wait to show you guys that later on. I'm just gonna jump ahead to the next one, but that's if you like classic card games, you'll like card game matches.
Oh, you always got to plug yourself, huh?
I've been pretty good about it lately.
All right, so this is going to be my last. If you like a movie, then you should play this game. This is also a bit heavier compared to some of the other stuff I was talking about, more family weight. This one is a lot heavier, in all honesty, but it does give you that feel. So this is more of my, if you like this movie and you're already a board gaming, then you'll love this game. And that is, the movie is Jurassic Park. Can you guess the game?
Funkoverse. No, just kidding. I'm guessing Jumanji. No. Cosmic Encounter. No. Gloomhaven.
Alrighty, well, he his brain keeps short-circuiting over here. The answer is Dinosaur Island. It
I was
really does
close.
give you that Jurassic Park feel. You have the game that gives you the building, the actual amusement part of Jurassic Park. You have the resources to get you're gaining the resources to build your park, to get the dinosaur, the DNA to build the dinosaurs. But then what I really enjoy about it is you gotta push that envelope of, do I keep developing these dinosaurs or do I pump some money into security? This way they don't break out and start eating my visitors. Do you have enough money to pay the security, or you're gonna lose some points because your visitors got eaten, but you're okay with the hooligans who are gonna destroy stuff. So if they got eaten, you just knock yourself out. So it's, and like your carnivores are gonna make you more points than say a stegosaurus because they're more dangerous. So they're going to be more attractions to it. That's why more people like to go see the lions than they do some of the antelopes or something like that. And so it works. It gives you that feel. You're building the DNA. You're building those creatures. It's a bit on the heavier side. It's a bit longer. It plays in quite a few phases, so there's a lot to learn. That's why this one specifically, I say, if you're already a hobby board gamer and you like Jurassic Park, then you'll love Dinosaur Island.
Okay, I still need to try that one, so I can't belittle you on that one. I mean, I can, but it'd be pointless. My number six, and this is if you like any kind of wheeling and dealing games where you're negotiating and trying to make like arbitrary like trades and offers. So I want to say like Monopoly or Catan, you're gonna like Bonanza. Bonanza is the best wheeling and dealing card game in the world, and I could even go for like Pit. I can see the relation like. If you want pit, but like you want to really just like mess with people's brains and wheeling and dealing, all you're doing is bean farming and set collection. That's it. But every phase of that game is just it gets better and better and better as you play it. And you see, oh well, I'll take your chili bean for one of these coffee beans. You know what? I'll give you two coffee beans if you don't give him the chili bean. You know, like I love stuff like that. It's so brilliant. The game goes over really well and. And anytime you want that player interaction between people, that really should be your best pick. So
No, I
wheeling
don't
and dealing,
disagree.
pick Bonanza.
I agree with you. I actually would play Bonanza over Catan or anything like that. I would play Bonanza over Pit. It was mentioned earlier, what about the wheeling and dealing and trading? Bonanza is just that's the game I would go to. It's that good.
Yeah, now that I think about it, if you like Pit, you should go Happy Salmon.
Okay.
Yeah, no, for real. That's a good one. But anyway, that has nothing to do with my list.
All right, so moving on to my number five here. And this one is a bit different. I guess you could say this is the one I was telling you about that it doesn't really fit with all the other stuff. So like my next four all fit in the category, the last three fit in the category. This one is if you have a history buff in your family. I am a said history buff in my family. Then especially specifically if they're into like the Civil War or that kind of era, or just American history, then you'll love Freedom, the Underground Railroad because of how good the historical setting is in this game. It is by far my favorite historical setting board game out there. Now, disclaimer, there is going to be heavy topics that I'm going to be talking about here about this game. So if you have issues with the history of slavery and what the Underground Railroad is for, you can go ahead and skip ahead of the video if you're watching this on YouTube. I won't have timestamps because I'm still trying to figure that out, but you can skip ahead for a little bit. As well as audio listeners, just a heads up, this is coming as well. So you might want to skip ahead a few minutes or so. But as I was saying, that the history buff in your family, and you want to show them a modern board game, this would be that pick. It's a co-op game about saving slaves from plantations and moving them to Canada before they're recaptured. They have slave catchers in this game. However, you're not only just trying to capture or rescue the slaves from being captured, you're trying to change the country's mind and try to abolish slavery. So you have a goal where you have to raise so much money to get through three different eras to change the mind of the country, as well as rescuing a certain amount of slaves to help you get the end game scenario. It's a difficult game. It plays a lot of, like, if you're familiar with Pandemic or Horrified, the action point system of it. There's a lot going on with that. There's a lot of historical context in this game, as well as, like, some of the good characters. There's historical bios on them. Some of the bad characters, there's some historical bios on them. The good events, the stuff comes out, it tells you why, or like has some art, or not art, but like classic pictures that you would see during this time frame, and who these characters are with those pictures. So it's a very well done historical setting, to the point, because it comes from Academy Games, you can buy something to teach this in classroom. It actually has a lesson plan for this board game to be taught in the classroom. So I have to say, this is just so full of history that it's very important, especially if you have that history buff in your family.
Very cool. I still can't wait to play this. I'm looking forward to this. It's been on my wish list for years. It has. My number five, completely changing the subject, apparently. I went with co-op tower defense kind of style games. Okay. But one is the opposite end. If you like Castle Panic, you'll probably like Thanos Rising. And the reason I think that is because they're very different games, but they are both, you know, fictional themed tower defense games. But Thanos Rising, it's not a tower defense. It's really the opposite of that, actually. Yeah. You're trying to break down the tower in the middle, which is but I feel like it has a lot of the same flavor. They're almost just as light as each other. Thanos is a little more complicated, of course. But, I mean, you're rolling dice. You're trying to take out the bad guys while getting better and better good guys. And Castle Panic is just straight up just survive. Whereas Thanos Rising, you're building an engine, too, on top of it. But I feel like you're more beholden to the dice. So it balances out if you want that light mood. But yeah, that's my number five pick, Castle Panic. You'll like Thanos Rising.
Or just in general, any of the Rising games too. If you're not into Marvel, then they have a Harry Potter, they have a SpongeBob, they have a Batman, they have Star Wars if you want to import it from the European Union or the UK, whichever. You have your choice in that matter. But no, I don't disagree with you on that.
Cool. That's the first half.
All right. So my last half is all board games compared to other board games.
Let's see. Okay. Mine is not. Okay.
So the first and foremost one I have on here is a lot of people who play classic games growing up. One of the more famous ones is Scrabble. And so I say, if you like Scrabble, and I talked about it at the top of the order, so there was the spoiler, then you would love Hardback. I think a lot of people, if you like the spelling kind of games, it's really good and very similar, especially when you're talking about like modern board games. There's not really a lot of spelling games out there. You got like Bananagrams and Unspeakable Words and a few others out there. I think you have one like Werewolf Word or something like that.
Werewords is more like 20 Question, but there's Letter Tycoon, Buy Words from Sid Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few others. Worderific, that's another one that comes to mind. Those are the ones I like, personally.
But I like this because especially a lot of people really like deck building. And I like the fact that this one is a lot more forgiving than a lot of games, because you can use the wild cards. You can ask for help, and all they get is an ink out of it that can, you know, actually hurt them later on or just help them buy something. It really does involve a lot of deck building. There's the push your luck, spelling the words. It's real simple. I like how cards combo with one another. It's a fun game. I understand why some people don't like it. I enjoy it. In fact, if you don't like hardback, I've heard paperback is a little different, but similar in the same way. So you can also try paperback. It's made by the same person. I think paperback was first and hardback is the upgraded version. But I think you could find paperback right now in Barnes & Noble. I recently saw it there. So if you don't want to try hardback, then paperback as well.
Yeah, well, it should work. Cool. Yeah. Okay. I'm just giving you guff. I'm sorry. I have no
It
rules.
makes more sense than, you know, Lords of Waterdeep and Stone Age.
It does. It does. I agree with that. My number four, this is one of those weird ones where if you like one of them, you'll probably like the other. And that's because they do very, very similar concepts. And that is Spice Road and a classic game called Bazaar. If you like one of them, you're probably going to like the other one. And that's because the whole premise of Century Spice Road is you're basically trying to get sets of different colored spices or cubes, or in the Golem version, it's gems. You're trying to convert them, like one green gem, you might be able to play a card that gives you two yellow gems, or one might give you like upgrade a yellow gem to a red gem, or like all these different weird ways to convert it. And you're building this engine of cards in your hand where you're trading these spices, fully upgrading them, and getting them to be much better to trade them in for victory point cards. It's an absolutely brilliant design, but it takes a lot from the idea of the game Bazaar, which is an old classic game from the 60s, maybe early 70s latest, but where you are trying to convert the same ideas. You get like there's 10 different panels that you can bring out two at a time, and they might say, okay, well, you have a green, yellow, and a white coin, will give you a blue coin. And a blue coin might give you two red coins. And you could convert in any way you want because you want to be absolutely as efficient as possible. And what that means is that when you buy one of the cards, which always has five coins on it of different colors, when you buy it, the remaining coins that you have determine how many more points you get. So for example, if I buy it and I have 0 coins, that's like 5 points right there. But if I have 1 coin, I'm only getting 3 points because I wasn't as efficient. Or if I have like 3 or more coins, it's only worth a point. So it's not even worth it at that point. Mm. Yeah. So you see what I'm saying is that it's a game of efficiency. Century Spice Road has a little more engine building, but it also doesn't have that really neat twist. Like you can have, you're just limited to 10 point or 10 spices at the time. So if you're being inefficient, you're just gonna discard some stuff. That's it. But you don't really get like the goal isn't to be super efficient. It's just to build this massive engine that lets you keep going and comboing. So I think either one, if you like one and you're familiar with one, you should try the other. Absolutely.
Okay. I've never played Bazaar, so I can't give you any gruff about it. You talk about it quite a few times recently, so
yep.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait to show you this. It's fun.
So you remember your Lords of Waterdeep in Stone Age, and I gave you guff? Here's yep. one that you could give me guff. And I chose, if you like Monopoly, it's specifically the roll and move aspect of Monopoly. And there are people who like it. Sure. Then you should at least give Merlin a try. Because...
Okay. No, I see.
Again.
I see what you're doing.
I was specifically going for the roll and move part of it because Merlin allows you a lot more choices and stuff like that. You're not beholden to, you are beholden to where you land, just like you are in Monopoly. However, it's more for actions than anything else. And it made a really good game around a specific thing a lot of people grew up with and enjoyed, the rolling and move part. I went with Monopoly, but it could basically be any roll and move. But Monopoly is the most famous one. You get to choose which die you use, how many spaces your character moves, so you can combo how your character moves, as well as being able to move Merlin in the opposite direction also means like, hey, you know what? I don't have to pass go. I can go backwards this time around. So I do enjoy that aspect of it. It leads to a lot of good choices, a lot of meaningful choices. And so that's my number three pick, and that's my stretch.
Do you know why I'm giving you this look?
Why is that?
Because who likes Monopoly for the roll and move part of it? I mean, I know how you added other
ones. I actually know family members who do, so.
People are like, hey, like let's play Monopoly because I really like rolling dice and moving random amounts. No, it's
because they like it because the ability to actually get certain things out of it if no one's there. So they're like, come on, or, you know, let me get... To this point, let me get the right roll that I need.
I know, that part's kind of exciting, but man, you jumped from like gateway everybody plays wrong game to a Stefan Feld? Think about this for a minute.
No, I don't disagree. I said there's going to be there's two complicated games on my list. I just put this one further back because again, I grouped things. So
you've heard it here first. Daniel said if you like Candyland, you like Twilight Imperium 4th edition. Like he said it right there. You know, that's what we're working.
I don't know if they would like Candyland versus Twilight Imperium.
Oh, absolutely. They're both colorful. If you like,
hey, no, I told you, I did tell you this was my stretch. All right.
A better example would be Monopoly to Twilight 4th edition because they both take 6 hours. If you like wasting time in the board game for a really long time, at least play something good. All right. So you remember all that guff that you just gave me? Or I just gave you?
No. Yeah.
No, I think you're going to agree with this. If you like solo games, you need to play Onirim. Hands down. Like, that is the solo game.
That is the solo game. No, I don't disagree with you at all.
It's a free app. What's wrong with you? Go play it. Like, it's
yeah, it's a good app. Game.
It's one of those games that I legitimately felt paying $40 for a card game that I'm only going to play myself is absolutely worth it.
100%. Oh, no, that's phenomenal. It's a great game. I haven't played the card game myself, but...
Yeah, it doesn't retail at $40. It retails at, like, $25, I think, is the normal price for it. But... It was out of print at the time, and I was like, okay, yeah, I want this in my life because it's amazing.
No, it's really good. No, I don't disagree with you on that pick at all. Solo gaming, then Onirim is the top choice, really.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, all the others, there's too much random elements, there's too much craziness. No, this you can mitigate the whole time. Yes, you have random roll or random card draw, but really it's like that's meaningful.
Yeah, no, it's
how much. How well you can manipulate it. Yeah. It's an absolutely brilliant game.
You ready for my next one here? Because you know how you gave me guff for like Monopoly? Because it came out of left field with Stefan Feld. This one doesn't come out of left field. So if you have family members who love the classic game Risk, and Risk was one of my favorites growing up, then, and I'm going a little back here, but you should try, or at least they'll really enjoy, I think, Small World. I think the area control aspect of both those games are really well done. The dice rolling is still there, so they'll still have fun with it, but it leads to a lot more laughter because you have like one or two possibilities. Well, you have three possibilities, one, two, or nothing. And so I think that's great. Have a good time with it. It's real fun. I haven't really played Small World in a while myself because I got into gaming. One of the games I had was Small World. It really was that kind of classic feel, that game of Risk where you're trying to take as much land as you possibly can, get your points, and then run away. So it gives you that Euro feel that you get nowadays and still gives you that area control, the chucking dice and having fun. The only difference here is that you had actual armies and this is fantasy races with different powers. But I think people would really, really enjoy that part of it. It's fun. You still, like I said, get to throw dice. And it's funny when they come up. Because it's like, I just need one. I just need one. I just, really? I get a three now when I don't need it? Or two, whatever it is? Or blank. Oh, really? Come on. So it leads to a lot of fun. And to top it all off, it works on two aspects of it. Because if you like World of Warcraft, hey, guess what? They got a small world version of it now.
Yeah. Which has one of the best names in gaming. Small World.
World of Warcraft.
I love that.
So yes, my number two. If you like Risk, then you'll love Small World.
Okay. So my last one is incredibly safe, and I'll explain why. This is pretty much a shoe-in. If you like Roll Through the Ages, and I'm taking a leap in the dark here, because I have not played this other game. If you like Roll Through the Ages, you'll like Era. Because essentially Era is the reworking of Roll Through the Ages. You know, it's technically heavily inspired and re-implemented from it. But no, here's the thing, though.
That's like me saying if you like, what is it, Civilization, or what is that, Through the Ages, then you would like Nations, because Nations was heavily inspired by Through the Ages, the point where it was so good that more people wanted to play Through the Ages that they had to make a new Civilization or Age of Discovery, whatever, I can't remember the name, Nations, yeah. That's what I'm looking for, that they had to make a new version of Through the Ages.
Yeah. No, but there are enough differences between the game, because the original one was just a roll and write, some resource management, mm-hmm. and you're filling in like some boxes on some of the buildings. Like, it's pretty arbitrary, like which boxes you're building, but everything else is just what resources you have. Where Matt Leacock went back and revisited it, and now you have like this big grid with beautiful building pieces, and some building pieces will let you roll better dice for different things, and some will give you special abilities, and some will score in different ways. So it's more than just that. It's the next level up. But once again, it was like, it was the predecessor to it. So
yeah, I mean, no, I get it. Just had to give you a little guff about that.
No, I don't disagree with you, but that's what I'm saying. It's incredibly safe, because if you already like that one, you're technically kind of playing the same game. You're just playing like the new iteration of it in a new fresh light. So I feel it's a good chance.
All right. Yeah, sure. I've only played Through the Ages, so I don't even know much about Era to really give you more grief than what I just did.
Yeah. And that's why it's good.
So my number one, though, I think is the one that really came to my mind. Now, I've talked about one of these games a lot, especially recently. And so my number one is, if you like Dungeons & Dragons, you'll enjoy Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion. And I specifically said Jaws of the Lion because it's the easier one. It really is. It teaches you how to play it really well. But I say this like this. If you enjoy Dungeons & Dragons, but you're not good about making a campaign or the storytelling part of it, and you need something that gives you that feel, this is the game for you. And mainly because Jaws of the Lion itself has these simpler rules. It's an easier price point to get into as well. Much easier than paying, what, $150 for base Gloomhaven versus $50 at Target or something like that. So it's a much easier price point to get in. It's not as overbearing as Gloomhaven because, you know, the book maps make it so much easier than having to draw out all the tiles, especially if you want to play a couple scenarios back to back. You just turn a page rather than, oh, I need this tile, and this tile now. Much easier to get into. Again, it has a beautiful way to teach such a big game like Gloomhaven within the first five scenarios of Jaws of the Lion. So not only are you getting a game that gives you that campaign, that storytelling feel, you're getting a game that teaches you how to play it easily. First scenario, all you got to worry about is learning how to play your character in the cards that you're using. Second scenario, okay, now hear how the bad guys start activating when they're doing their basic stuff and so forth. And it teaches you step by step how the game's going to play out as you're going through the campaign. And I think that's phenomenal. And the fact that you get to play with the characters and build them as you grow to give you more attachment like you would with Dungeons & Dragons as you're experiencing them, getting them up, getting better weapons, getting better stuff for them, getting better abilities. That's why I say if you like Dungeons & Dragons, especially for the campaign and the storytelling part that you're not very good at, then you should pick up Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion and give that a shot.
All right, and my last one. I picked, if you like this game, you'll like either of these two games. And I picked two other games. And this, I'm going to tell you the first part of it, and I want to see if you can guess what the two games are. You'll probably be pretty close. If you like chess.
Two games. Okay, let's see. Onitama, maybe one of them?
Onitama is definitely one of them.
I'm going to go with War Chest.
No.
Okay, how about the Duke?
And that was also a consideration, but no, I don't believe so.
Okay.
I mean, I think you'll both like those fine. But if you like...
Is it Shobu?
Shobu. Yes. One of those two games. If you like the abstract strategy of it, if you're okay with abstract strategy games and you also like chess and you wanted that head-to-head game... Shobu is your thing. Like, I adore this game. It's one of the best games I've ever played, hands down. It's up. Anytime I say the name Shobu and I think about it, I just get super excited. I love abstract strategy games, and this is a perfect example of it. Whereas Onitama, that's like more of the obvious answer, but I have gotten more chess players, which are notoriously hard to get into other games by showing them Onitama. And that was incredible.
it, the people who have spent decades of their lives, you know, focusing on chess, like instead of trying to refine chess and like have different starting moves and variations on chess, I show them Onitama and they're like, wow, this is a thing. This is interesting because there's only five options every game and it changes. Like you have to rethink your strategy every single time. You can't plan opening moves. You can't plan all these other things. Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. Onitama or Shobu if you like chess.
I don't disagree with those. I'm not a huge fan of Shobu. I'm fine with it. It's not that great in my eyes. I agree wholeheartedly with Onitama just because it gives you that that chess feel, but with some flair, I guess you could say.
It's chess better.
That's right. I won't disagree with you, but I didn't say it. He did.
Throw down the gauntlet. It's chess better. Hands down.
Alrighty. So that's our list. If you like it, enjoy what you want.
Well, that was a non-committal answer. You know what? If you've enjoyed ours, even if you don't, we appreciate it.
And that's what I say. I just don't want to be my other family friend, family friendly that I was going to use. That's why I was just like, wait, don't use that word.
Yeah, no. Honestly, yeah, no. We hope that these gave you some ideas. Like, I'm surprised there's no overlap between us. I really am. I thought there was going to definitely be on this list, but
no, I kind of knew because we come from different angles, honestly, when it comes to a lot of this kind of stuff. Like I said, I was pulling in like what Wingspan, like, hey, you're a movie? Here, come get this. And then my other ones were like, hey, the normal, if you like this game, try this part of it or something like that. But yeah.
The closest one that I considered was, I was going to say, if you like Pandemic, you like Horrified.
That was actually on my short list.
Yeah, but I knew you would throw Horrified in there because that's really your baby. You know, I adore Horrified, but that's really your baby, you know.
I just think with Horrified, it needed to be on something like this list, whether it be like Pandemic or the Universal Monster movies, because I see it again. I'll mention this like I did at the top. Wingspan pulled in non-hobby gamers to play a hobby game. And I can see Horrified being that same capabilities because it's not overly complicated. It's simple to go or to know and play and get used to. And it adds something people already like. So I see Horrified as one of those games that can draw people from outside the hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Cool. Well, we hope you enjoyed our list. This has been a fun one to make and definitely completely off the wall. This was kind of a difficult list for me to make, but I
feel actually like... it was quite difficult. I only finished it up this morning because I was like, I just had to rack my brains. Big part of it too is that I played Hardback over the weekend. I'm like, okay, this is going to go on my list now.
Yeah,
like, I needed to play it just to get that feel again.
Yeah, I couldn't help but think of stuff like if you like Crusaders, you'll probably like Trajan. If you like Werewolf, you might like Deception. If you like LCR, you'll probably like Get Wild, which is the new game from the op, you know, like, so other things like that, but those feel like revamps of the same mechanism, you know, and just like,
yeah, that's why I try to be different. Like I did like movies and I did historical aspects and I did board gaming. So I did the obvious, but I tried to give it a nice mix.
Yeah.
And that's why they weren't in like a particular order, except for my number one. It was just more, these make sense over here and these make sense over here. So let's just kind of keep them all together.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we appreciate you all for listening, as always. If you ever want to join us live, like A. Woods did, our good friend, and any other live viewers that joined us today on Twitch, you can at twitch.tv/everydayboardgames.
As well as you can find all video re-uploads on YouTube at Everyday Board Games 2020. If you like what we do, then please give us a subscribe, like on the video, as well as a comment, and tell us which is your favorite game on the list or fifth list category. Doing this helps us grow immensely on the platform, as well as all audio versions can be found on most podcast platforms under Everyday Board Games. This includes Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, and Podbean.
And if you have an idea for a future discussion topic or even a top 8 debate, don't send it to the Dice Tower. They don't need the help. Send it our way at everydayboardgames2020@gmail.com.
As well as you can give us those ideas at our official Twitter account, which is @EBGPodcast.
So as always, we appreciate you for tuning in. I've been Daniel.
And I've been Daniel.
And we want to thank you for listening to Everyday Board Games.
Have a good one.